ideas now. And just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will fill him and inspire him and anoint him to speak your word, that word which is truth. And we thank you for his presence with us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Mike. 30 years. Wow. Long time since I've been coming, isn't it, really? It's great to be with you again. I know that sometimes when I come in, you all say, I'm sorry it's so few of us, but I'm not really worried about that. It's great to meet you all, and it's good to meet with the Lord. That's really what counts, isn't it? Just a few things before I try and pick up and be relevant. One of the big challenges I have in preaching in a different place every Sunday is trying to be relevant, because you come into a place and you think, where's this church at, you know, and how can I contribute? But really helped by the way Josephine led worship this morning, so thank you, Josephine. And I'm probably going to touch a little bit on that needless pain, because I think that was such a good point that you brought. But just a couple of things first. I'm really glad that you're taking part in Thy Kingdom Come. Some of you know that I was working very closely with the Archbishop when we put this together, and it ended up with a big event in Trafalgar Square where he and Cardinal Vincent and myself and Archbishop Angelos of the Coptic Orthodox Church and Agur Rukwe ended up doing this big prayer event in Trafalgar Square some years back. But what you may not know is that actually when Archbishop Justin was putting the Thy Kingdom Come initiative together, I was aware that, you know, we've got a real opportunity from Easter through to Pentecost, not just the 10 days that lead up to Pentecost, but actually to reflect on the power of the resurrection and all of those things. So I did bring out a book at that time, and we did a video series on it, Because I Live, and I do actually have some of those Because I Live books at the back. But I just wanted to mention that when I stood down last April as the Free Church's moderator, it gave me an opportunity just to look at where the church is at throughout the UK. And I brought out a book not many months ago now, Because Is Kindness Killing the Church? Which is a very provocative title, I know. And just to reassure you, it's not killing the church, because the church won't die. But sometimes we end up with a sort of polite relationship with one another, where actually I think God wants us to engage more fully than that. So I do have some copies there for you. It's doing the rounds at all sorts of church levels, but if you want a copy, I've got a few books. I'll put them out whilst we're having refreshments afterwards. But just to say, it's really great to be with you. And I'd appreciate your prayers this week. I'm actually speaking in Poland next Saturday, and I have absolutely no Polish whatsoever. So this is an opportunity to preach with someone interpreting, which I'm quite used to, but I've never had to be interpreted into Polish before. So pray for me, but also pray for the interpreter, because I really feel for these guys when they're having to do it as we go along. One of the things that was interesting about the coronation the other week was that everyone was getting a little bit anxious. You know, how is this going to be? What's it going to be like? What is Charles going to do about the faiths rather than faith? And I could see lots of people getting anxious, and I was being asked, you know, what I knew about it and all of these kind of things. And I was trying to reassure people and say, look, you know, the script is set. It won't change very much. And funny enough, on the day of the coronation, my wife and I actually found that when my mother-in-law died, she'd left behind a copy of the service from 70 years ago. And so we decided that we would actually follow it. And it was pretty much word for word the same 70 years on. So all of these anxieties about will it change, will it not, what will it be about, were all unnecessary. But one of the things I did know was that when it came to that event, there'd been a lot of rehearsing. And it just reminded me of something that I'd noticed on many occasions when I'm reading the book of Revelation, that there's an interesting transition between chapter 4 and chapter 5. And I want to talk about it because it fits in with a little bit of what Josephine was saying about needless pain and all of those kind of things. Because one of the reasons we can get stressed out, as we've already said, is that we go through it all in our heads and we don't actually come to Jesus. And I think that's really what I want to focus on. Because what we have in these two chapters of the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and chapter 5, is actually a rehearsal and then the event. When you read chapter 4, it really feels like the rehearsal. Let me read it to you, and then we get into chapter 5. After this, says John, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, 7 lamps were blazing. These are the 7 spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, round the throne, were 4 living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the 4 living creatures had 6 wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created. And then we come to chapter 5. Then I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept, because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing on the center of the throne, encircled by the 4 living creatures and elders. And then we read on. And we discover they sing a new song saying, you're worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain. And I just want you to get that sense of transition. It's like in chapter 4, we're saying, this is what it looked like. You know, there's a throne. It's incredible, real powerful, and all the rest of it. There are angels and there are people sitting on the throne. And you know what's going to happen. It's like the script has been written. But it's when you get to chapter 5 and you see that there is one who's worthy to open the scroll, that everything bursts into action. And in fact, as you read the rest of Revelation, it really comes out of that moment when the seals begin to be open. And you know, as I'm looking at this, I think there's so much we can learn from it. It all seems like way off in the future, doesn't it? And very often when you read the book of Revelation, people are telling you, despite the fact it says things that are shortly to take place, it's like, well, we've been waiting 2,000 years and nothing has taken place yet. But actually, it's not really like that. Because in the chapter before this, in chapter 3, God speaks very clearly to one church. Jesus writes this letter to the church at Philadelphia and says, I'm setting before you an open door. Now, we all know what that means. It means that God opens the way for us. He gives us opportunities in life. We've all got a testimony of how God opens doors. And that's what we want to know, how God opens doors. But many of us don't realize that the biggest door that God has opened for us is the door of access into God's presence. When you think about it, when Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, and he was hanging on the cross, and we read in Mark's gospel how they mocked him. Some of them were saying, oh, you said if we destroy the temple, you could build it again in 3 days. Some of them said, you saved others, why can't you save yourself? And others of them said, if you come down from the cross, we believe in you. Now, Jesus could have answered all of those points, couldn't he? When they were mocking him, saying, you said if we destroyed the temple, you'd raise it again in 3 days. He could have said, you're destroying me right now, but in 3 days I'll be back. He could have said that, couldn't he? When they said, you saved others, but you couldn't save yourself, he could have asked them the question, you really understand I save others? And when they said, if you come down from the cross, we're believing you, he could have said, if I come down from the cross, there won't be much point believing in me because I won't have completed what I've come to do. He could have said all of that, and yet he said nothing in response to their taunts. What he did do was to take the sin of the world upon his shoulders and cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then there came a moment when there was a great shout from the cross. You do realize that when someone is dying by crucifixion, what is happening is that they're suffocating. That actually, as they lose the ability to push up on that nail through the feet, gradually the weight of the body makes it impossible to breathe. But somehow Jesus found the ability to shout out in a loud voice. And he shouted out, "It is finished." Now, this was festival time. It was feast time. And although there was a group of people around the cross, there would have been an even bigger group of people in the city. And the temple would have been extremely busy. The Levites in the temple would have had certain things that they needed to do on this day of the feast. And they would actually have been in there serving in the temple. And actually, they would have seen a very thick curtain. And they would have known that actually, no one is allowed beyond that thick curtain except the high priest. And he can only go in once a year. And when he goes in, everyone listens out very carefully because he's got little bells and pomegranates around his robes. And if you can hear chink, 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 you know he's okay. And why were they concerned? Because they knew that behind that curtain there was the presence of God. There was the Ark of the Covenant. And God was there. And yet, whilst the Levites were serving that day, in that holy place where the showbread was and the seven-branch candlestick and the table of incense, suddenly something happened. Probably actually synchronized with that moment when Jesus cried out, "It is finished." To their utter amazement, the curtain in the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom, parting, leaving them totally confused, because it would have signified to them straight away that the barrier's been removed. The presence of God can come into people's lives, and people can come into the presence of God. And this is the biggest open door that we have. It's great to be praying, "God, open doors for me in my career. Open doors for me in my family. Open doors for me here. Open doors for me there." But if we forget that the real open door that we need to go through is that open door into his presence, then we're going to find a lot of needless pain, a lot of stress, a lot of problems, which disappear when you actually get into that place. I remember reading this passage years ago in Revelation. And I thought, yeah, this is a great place, isn't it, to start a time of prayer, looking at seeing what it's like in heaven. And I thought, that's great. All right, now here's my prayer list. So I started going through my prayer list, and we got a broken boiler at the time. And the broken boiler was high on my prayer list. And I just really felt to me saying, what are you talking about? I mean, all the angels are worshipping him, and there was me saying, we've got a broken boiler. It just didn't seem to quite fit. And I suddenly realized that actually part of our prayer life is to be about coming into his presence with a sense of worship. Yeah, the list has its place because we're meant to cast all our cares upon him. But if you arrive with the list and don't actually come with the worship, you can actually miss out on the answers to your prayer list. Because so many of the answers on our prayer list just come from knowing his presence. And I look at this passage and I think, it's incredible that God has set before us an open door. But I wonder how many of us go through the open door with open eyes. It's very easy, isn't it, to miss things. And you look at what God is doing and it all seems absolutely incredible. And we could be filled with awe and wonder. And yet we miss the fact that what God wants to do is to show us that he is the God who's controlling history. When that sealed scroll appears, it's the scroll of history. And the unfolding of that scroll, the breaking of the seals, can only be done by someone who really understands what history is about. It looks at it first, doesn't it, that if it's going to be ripped apart by the Lion of Judah, because the elders say, oh, the Lion of Judah has triumphed and he can open the scroll. And you're thinking, well, any minute now, if I keep my eyes open, I'm going to see the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's going to come and he's going to rip that scroll open and we're going to see everything that's in it. But that's not what happens, is it? And sometimes you don't just need open eyes, you need an open heart. Because what happens is completely the opposite of what you might expect. You don't see a lion, you see a lamb. And this lamb, you can see it's been slain. But it's not a dead lamb. It's strange, isn't it? A dead lamb couldn't open any seals. But the lamb that has been slain and risen again has a depth of understanding of human hearts and human history that makes him worthy to open every single seal. Right now, there are troubles in the world. But you know, I look at it and I think, no matter how much we might think that the enemy rules in the affairs of men, God overrules. God is in control. He's still the Lamb that opens the seals. He's still the God who rules and reigns. The churches who first received this book of Revelation were churches that were under pressure, churches that were being persecuted. And when Jesus speaks to them and brings correctives, he expects them to respond to the correctives, but he wants to bring encouragement as well. And the encouragement is, no matter what happens, I'm the God who's in control. There are going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be this, there's going to be that. But in the end, God triumphs. And so, there's a lot of needless pain we bear. Anxieties, feeling that chaos rules, that there's no order. And yet in the midst of it, we need to realize that in that heavenly realm, the seals are being opened by one who's worthy to open them. Not the lion that roars, although Jesus is worthy of that title, but the lamb that has been slain. And if you just want to bring this back down to your own life at the moment, I don't know what your circumstances are. I mean, I might have known this church for 30 years, but I don't know everyone's problems and issues. But I can tell you that Jesus knows them. He knows what you need, and he's the one who's in control. And I can tell you this, that if you're prepared just to accept today again, we've sung, I surrender all. But the basis of that surrendering is that we've got a God who's ready to receive us. Take me, Jesus. Take me now, we sang. And he's waiting to do that. He's waiting to say to you, look, I'm the one who's in control. I'm the one who can open the seals. I'm the one who's looking at your life now. And there's things you don't know. There's a future that is ahead of you. You don't know what it is. But there is one who not only knows the future, but is in control of the future. and we need to trust him. I'm so glad that we can move on from chapter 4 into chapter 5. That we're not just watching a rehearsal that says, when this happens, that'll happen, and then that'll happen. And we're not just looking at a script. We actually move into the reality where that worship can happen. And I want to pray for myself as much as I want to pray for you today, that we learn more and more how to live in that presence of God that he's opened up for us on the cross. Avoid the needless pain and cast all your care upon the Lord Jesus, who loves you and knows how to open the seals of your life and the seals of history. Father, thank you for your word that speaks into our lives. Thank you that despite the limitations of the preacher, your word is always relevant. And I pray that today you'll speak into our hearts, that you'll lift burdens off us, that you'll work in our lives with assurance and hope. And for those of us who are here who don't know you very well, Lord, give us the courage to come to you through the cross, to step through that veil into your presence, to move on from just coming for a rehearsal and move into the reality. Lord, do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.